This is the 4th and 3 podcast with your host, Nick Stager.
Welcome back, everybody. This is another edition of the 4th and 3 podcast. Join with me, as always, is my co-host, Andrelfio.
We're here. We're ready. Let's get it.
And no Jared today, as he is in Chicago, escaping his worries of the football season. So that being said, we got a nice, great show for you. If you made it past the first round of fantasy playoffs, congratulations. If you had that first round bye, good job. Get ready for a fight this weekend. If you did not, I'm very sorry. My condolences. You will have a lot to look forward to this offseason. We got the draft coming up. We've got, if you're in a dynasty league, you got the rookie draft. And then, of course, there's always figuring out who's going to have what pick in the upcoming draft next year. So, again, this podcast is actually going to be focused on the people that made it past round one. Depending on how many leagues you have, there's probably two rounds, or how many people in your how many teams in your league? There's probably two rounds left. I highly doubt you got three rounds left. And if you're in one of those leagues that has one round left, well, good luck. That's kind of weird. Yeah. So that being said, AJ, any notable news you want to talk about outside of Jalen Hurts being injured?
Well, obviously that's going to be the biggest one. There is a side piece of news. Ryan Tannehill is expected to miss the rest of this season. He has been dealing with kind of a naggy ankle injury that he's been sustaining. Obviously we saw Malik Willis coming in that last. No, so it is unfortunate. But at the same time, they drafted Malik Willis. We want to see how he's going to play. Is that going to affect the rest of the team? Yes, it is. Is it going to affect Derrick Henry? A little bit. But still looking at Derrick Henry this week, absolutely still going to be a monster.
Jonathan Taylor also out.
Oh,
put on IR. Brutal.
Yeah. That one is absolutely a crusher. The nice part of it is when they did trade Nyheim Hines, they did get Zach Moss in return. And Zach Moss actually was decent, ran 21 times, averaged like 3.4 yards a carry. So not anything spectacular. But building on that, there is a new quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts this week.
Yeah, Nick Foles.
Nick friggin' Foles coming in. Going to lead me. I'll say he's going to be my quarterback. I have Jalen Hurts. I also had Jonathan Taylor. So an absolute crusher. I had a first round bye, luckily. Looking into this week, obviously starting Nick Foles in a playoff scenario when you're in the semifinals, it's not ideal. But at the same time, if you're Jeff Saturday in the Colts, it can't get much worse. So you might as well trot out Nick Foles and see if he can do something for you.
Well, if you're a Colts fan, I mean, I'm excited to see it because number one, a Matt Ryan-led offense at this point in his career is pretty boring. Nick Foles can only give you some sort of excitement, right? Because there's the wonder, the what if, you know, what if he played? And then the other thing that's pretty exciting about Nick Foles taking over here is that pretty much just guarantees that they're done with the season, which means they're probably going to lock their top 10 pick coming up here in these next 2 weeks, which if you're not making the playoffs, you want the top 10 pick. That's pretty much all there is. There's that limbo between team 11 and like teams 20. That's not where you want to see yourself. So if you're a Colts fan, look forward to the future, right? We've got some stuff coming up.
I agree.
That being said, let's talk about JT real quick. And I know we're going to get into this in Flexi, but real quickly, did you target Zach Moss this week? And if you did, will you play him?
Yes and yes. 100%. I do think the bonus of having Nick Foles in there, and it's not to say that Matt Ryan was not throwing downfield, but I know Nick Foles is more of that gunslinger, wants to, you know, push the ball deep. That is going to make the run game work a little bit more, you know, simple. So when you're looking at a backup running back, two backup running backs, I definitely targeted Zach Moss. I did also pick up Deion Jackson just in case. Honestly, I kind of want to see how this week plays out. But if Nick Foles is going to stretch the field, they have the players. Alec Pierce is a good deep ball guy. Michael Pittman is fantastic. Jelani Woods is good. So if they can actually do some of those things on the outside, that's going to free up some of that, you know, between the trenches, I think it's going to be beneficial. They have a decent game. They play the Chargers, who have not been fantastic when it comes to stopping the run. So yes, I absolutely targeted Zach Moss, and yes, I will start him 100%.
I'm glad you said that because I actually was the exact opposite. I did not target Zach Moss, and I'm coming off a first round bye. Losing Jonathan Taylor, I'm just not a Zach Moss guy right now, and even if I did happen to get him, which I mean, there was one leg I put a claim in for him just cause, right? It was mostly to stop other people from having him, right? I would much rather have the person that had JT plug in a backup opposed to at least the next guy up. But that being said, I don't even think Zach Moss is going to do good, because number one, he's just not been very good. He had his opportunity in Buffalo, and Buffalo doesn't have a lot of competition for running back over there. He couldn't do it there. And number two, this offense is just not good. At the end, it's just not good at the end of the day. I know they just put up 33 points against the Vikings, but to be honest, that wasn't really the Colts offense necessarily dominating the Vikings. It was more like the Vikings shooting themselves in the foot over and over and over. We'll get into that. But that being said, no Zach Moss for me. I would much rather play a flyer running back, but we'll get into that later.
I will say really quickly, mine is not out of like, yes, this is going to be a plugging solution of like exactly what I want to have happen. I drafted Jonathan Taylor. I had Javonte Williams. I had Damian Pierce. I have lost every running back that you can imagine. And so now I'm down to the point. I thought Zeke Elliott was going to be a borderline flex player for me. He's my running back one right now. That's not good. And then even looking at it, I have Isaiah Pacheco, not fantastic. So I'm dealing with a lot of these like mid-tier running backs, where at least in this situation, I just want a guy who's going to touch the ball 20 times. That's fair.
And in that scenario, just evidence off the last game, Zach Moss will be that guy. And at the end of the day, I know we preach volume. So, you know, if you are in a pinch, sure, go ahead. I just wanted to say I don't want to endorse it, and it's not ideal. So that being said, let's talk about our favorite teams this week, because they both had some pretty nice games. I'll start. If you guys were watching the Vikings game, you already know how this happened. Maybe turn it off and miss the ending. If so, that's on you. I did go to the game, and you know, the Colts went up 3-0, then 10-0, then 17-0, and the crowd is grumbling at this point. But I keep telling everyone that I'm with, I'm like, hey, we'll come back. It's only 17 points. We've done this before. Then, of course, they go up 23-0, and it's like, we've done this before. Don't panic. There's time. We'll figure it out. All of a sudden, they went up 30-0, and I was like, you guys want to leave? And they're like, well, don't want to leave yet. Now that's almost halftime. Let's wait for a little bit. I'm like, okay, whatever. We did pay for this. We'll hang tight. And then third quarter, they get that first touchdown. They get that second touchdown. All of a sudden, they get the third touchdown. Justin Jefferson over Gilmore. It was beautiful. Totally torched them. And at that point, it's a two-score game with like a quarter left. And it's just like, this is the Vikings territory, right? This is what we live to. We've been, what's the word? We've been trained for this all season for these crazy comebacks. And, you know, they did it with as much adversity as possible. They tied the game through in overtime. The refs were just on one that game. They took two defensive touchdowns away from Chandon Sullivan, both on fumbles that they called a play dead early. It's like at least as far as the first three quarters went, any little thing the Vikings did that was positive was basically negated by the refs. It was really frustrating. Dalvin had another fumble. So it's back-to-back weeks with fumbles. Which is really killer in certain leagues that has negative points, right? So that was frustrating. He did kind of make up for it at the end, though, with like a 75-yard screen pass. Took that to the house. That was beautiful. Let's flash forward to overtime. The Vikings win the coin toss. The place is going nuts, by the way. It's just so loud. Everyone's high-fiving. We're just screaming. Colts fans are just unbelievably quiet. It was really great because, boy, were they chirping earlier in that game. So we get that ball, and then of course we get stopped, punt it, go up to the Colts. They're driving. We get them to stop around midfield, and they have like one of the worst punters. Their punting was terrible. So they punt the ball to us, and then, we get it probably around the 40-yard line with like a minute left, drive down the field with Justin Jefferson. There's like 10 seconds left. Jefferson tackled. The Colts player was holding him down. Which made the time run out. However, the refs finally gave a flag towards the Vikings, called the Colts player out for a delay of game. They gave us like 20 seconds left on the clock. We had one more pitch and catch, got down there with 1 second. It was just beautiful. Greg Joseph, G Money, hits the field goal. We win 36-33, biggest comeback in the history of the league, at least, well, in general.
Ever.
Maybe don't want to say, you know, playoffs, obviously there's a little bit more weight there. But in general, it was just awesome. It was a crazy game to be at. I'm really happy I stayed. And it's just great. You know, we're 11-3 now. And now with Jalen Hurts being injured, that first seed, and I'm not saying the Vikings are going to get the first seed. I really don't think they will. But it's back on the table, at least. You know, at one point we were kind of thinking like, maybe we should start resting some players, right? Like, not push them back. But if we can get that first seed somehow, rip that from the Eagles' clutches, that would be awesome. I don't anticipate it, but it's back on the table is what I'm saying.
You never know. And like I said, I texted you during this game where at first I was like, yeah, if you leave at halftime, come on over, watch the game. But I was honest. Honestly, as that happened, I'll say, I think for just like a sports fan, we love to see these types of games. We love to see the miracle come true. And that's why when I texted you, I was like, I honestly want the Vikes to win just to complete this, the ultimate comeback, essentially. And it was fantastic to watch the way it ended. They were taking cheap shots at Justin Jefferson the entire second half. Stephon Gilmore lit him up. And even Paul Allen came out in that game. And he's like, yeah, Stephon Gilmore should be. Yeah, he should be ejected from this game. I mean, it was definitely up high. I saw Justin Jefferson go out. And you never want to see it. Obviously, you know, even from like a competitor standpoint, you don't want to see, or you don't want a team to be worse just because a guy got hurt. So it's not good to see. I get like that game was just highly motivated within competition, but I definitely see where Paul Allen was coming from that. It was a fantastic game. You guys got cheated out of a lot. They need to go back to what they did last year when they got reamed out, where if you see a fumble, just let it happen. It's going to get reviewed.
Let it play out. Let it play out.
Yeah, it's going to get reviewed. It doesn't matter. So just let them run down. Both of those were nonsense. If you had the Vikings defense, I'm sure you're absolutely fuming because that should have been two touchdowns for you, which could have made or break. I don't know how to do that within like a plural or a past tense. But yeah, it's absolutely brutal. Dalvin Cook showed up at the end of the game. Kirk Cousins is still going to be overlooked in this game, threw for what, 400 yards. And they're like, yeah, they didn't win.
460.
Yeah. Like, yes, he did.
Yeah. Like, it's like it really is crazy to me how they still discredit him. I do want to get back to that Gilmore thing real quick. Because I'm glad you brought that up. So yes, that was a pretty bad hit, but that was one of those hits where, because of the rule, you can't make that hit. But like, personally, I wish that stuff was legal. Just because, you know, 30 years from now, or 30 years ago, that was totally legal. And it's one of those, that's one of those rules where it just kind of benefits the receiver and the quarterback. They can make those dangerous throws now because as a defense, it's like, what are you supposed to do? You basically, Jefferson was in position and he's guaranteed the catch unless Gilmore hits him. But at the same time, with the rules, yes, you can't hit like that. And that should have been, it should have at least been like the personal foul.
Unnecessary roughness.
You're almost, you're like one more and you're going to get ejected type of thing.
Yeah.
Anywho, and then back to Kirk Cousins. It really does blow my mind at this point that he's still getting discredited. So many people are like, well, Justin Jefferson's the reason you guys came back. Okay, like,
someone's got to throw it in.
He's a great, great part of it. But honestly, Justin wasn't even the best player on the field that day. It was actually KJ Osborne.
KJ Osborne lit it up.
I had Kirk Cousins playing in fantasy, and that's why I was super bummed that first half, right? Because I'm like, great, Vikings are getting crushed, and Kirk is doing literally nothing. And they ended up having a really good game. I think he finished as like the third or fourth best quarterback that week, which is insane to think about because he put up crazy numbers. And he still got outbeat by Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. And I want to say Jalen Hurts too. But that's the mobile quarterback factor.
It absolutely is. Do you have anything else you want to add? Or since you brought up
Jalen Hurts? Let's move on to the Eagles.
We did have somewhat of a nail fight. I actually shared this with Jared, and I truly believe it. I think the Bears are the Walmart version of the Philadelphia Eagles.
I would agree.
To a T, and yes, they're absolutely decimated on both sides of the ball. So in a game that we should have slaughtered them, we didn't play that right. When you're facing one of the worst run defenses in the league, why are you letting your MVP candidate quarterback run the ball 17 times and you give Miles 11 carries? Part of this injury, I do 100% think, is on Sirianni and Strychnin. Like, he shouldn't have to run that much, whether or not it's an RPO, it's designed, or like that's just the way the play unfolded is another thing, but you shouldn't have to do that in a game against a 3-1 team. You shouldn't.
Yeah, you definitely could have played conservative.
That part was frustrating. So for Jalen to get hurt in this game, and again, fantasy both and in reality, to now have Jalen hurt when you're going into a semifinals, tragic when you have a potential MVP candidate also get hurt when we have three games left and we have to win one of them. it's just, it's not what you want to see. All we can do is look inside and be like, the Eagles are going to beat the Eagles. And that's what we do time and time again. So that part was extremely frustrating. What I will say, Jalen Hurts with a sprained shoulder, balled out. That 68-yard pass to A.J. Brown literally fell into his hands. I don't even know if he saw that ball. It was gorgeous. And then time and time again, he was still running. So I'm going to chalk that up to a lot of adrenaline just pumping through him and not really realizing, you know, he's that hurt. But he did come out. I think it was Jordan Mailata. On the play he got hurt, he ran the ball, little designed run, comes out, has a 300-pound lineman land on him straight to his shoulder. Thank God he didn't break his collarbone because it looked like that. And he just sat there. And I've went through this in 2017 where Carson Wentz got hurt. I literally sat there and looked at it, and it was just kind of one of those, not again. Not again. And he sat there for a while, and Jordan Mailata came up after the game and was like, yeah, I walked over. I saw he was hurt. I was like, hey, stay down. And Jalen Hurts looked at him. He was like, pick me the up sort of thing. So that's just like pure competitor just wanting to finish that game. And apparently he never even left the field. They went and got him x-rays at some point, which I don't know when, but sprained shoulder, not good. Not good for somebody who has Jonathan Taylor and Jalen Hurts within a fantasy team. That sucks. But at the end of the day, we still squeaked out a win. I do want to look at the Bears though. Justin Fields, did you see that run?
No, I don't. Oh, yeah. Where he stepped out on the nine.
Yeah, it was absolutely insane. Honestly, even watching that, I was like, just shut up. Just count it as a touchdown for how unbelievable that was. How he got out of a Hassan Reddick's tackle is 100% beyond me.
He's still not quite as athletic as Lamar Jackson, but he is like right there. It's like right next to him. It is crazy. He juked so many different players.
And he's so
and the dude, spin move.
Yeah. Not to mention that, but like the agility he has, just like on a dime, just boof, gone. Like that is the difference between like Lamar and Justin Fields versus like Jalen Hurts. Jalen's more of like a power back where he'll still run through you. He's not gonna dip, dive, dodge, do all that stuff, but it's not as quick, as agile, as fast as what you looking at the other side of the ball in that game where I saw it happen and I was like, this guy's the future. I mean, he is talented. If you put some weapons around him, very glad that the Eagles are not in the NFC North, because Nick, you guys got a problem. That guy is extremely talented. He has the arm strength. And honestly, yeah, if they can actually be just a satisfactory team, that guy can absolutely bring him places.
Yeah, I'm not too stoked about having him in the North either after this year. And that honestly was more after watching the Bears Vikings game in person this year, because the previous year I didn't really pay attention to feel. I mean, I did, but not like how I do with certain players.
Right. And
when you see him in person, it's a totally different story. He really does have that extra gear. Getting back to Jalen Hurts, it is pretty crazy that he was able to finish that game. And that actually is low-key me holding out hope that if he was able to finish the game, then play him Saturday.
I am too. Why not? You know? I am too. But at the same time,
I still have him starting in my lineup right now, just because not until he's out, right?
You never know. You never know. But yeah, I just took him out today. Just I wanted to see my score change to see kind of like where I was at. But yeah, I'm absolutely still holding out hope. Obviously, you're not going to see this because it's a podcast. You're not seeing us on video. But I did already shave in a mustache. We're going Minshew Mania. Apparently, and they're obviously going to say this, but apparently Minshew looked really good in practice today. He did have the day off yesterday. He was a Mike Leach, I guess, player. So he went the day off. He went to the funeral for it. And now looking
about that.
Yeah. So now if you're looking at this week, he has that chip on his shoulder. He has the Cowboys who are looking at this game, obviously being like, well, they beat us with a backup. Can they beat us with a backup? So there's no excuses at this point. Gardner Minshew, part of it when you look at his career in Jacksonville, it's not great. But if you do look at his touchdown interception ratio, he is capable of taking care of the ball. We have, I'm not going to say a superstar team, but we have a very good team in almost every phase outside of special teams. So can he get the ball to A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert's coming back in space? Very excited for this game. But again, looking at how the Bears handled us, It was spectacular. It honestly was. I thought we were going to blow him out or we were going to lose. I don't think there was going to be this middle ground, which it ended up being. Jalen Hurts rushes for 3 touchdowns, throws for 300 yards. A.J. Brown, 181 receiving yards. Devontae Smith, 126 receiving yards. We can get done in all facets, but it shouldn't have been a game like that. We should have ran the ball down their throats. Boston Scott, Kenny G, and Miles Sanders, they should have had 300 yards. Jalen Hurts should have finished with 126 passing yards, at least in my opinion.
No doubt. It was definitely a fun game to watch. That's for sure. We'll see what happens this weekend. I don't think Minshew will light it up by any means, but like, you know, 2 touchdowns is totally doable.
Yeah.
Totally doable. Maybe he has a good game. He does have those good games where all of a sudden it's like, hey, this guy can play. And then he'll have those bad games. I don't anticipate he'll have like a bad game just because, like you said, the Eagles are so sound all over the place. But that being said, it's going to be a fun game to watch on Saturday.
I agree. And one last thing, just to like anecdotal, did you see the LeSean McCoy on First Take today?
No. What did he say?
He called Dak ass.
Well, I don't know if I would go that far. But
technically, and then he doubled down on it. He's like, he's ass. And like, people got chippy, but it's also like, LeSean, we are 3 days away from this game. Do not give them any fuel for any reason. Like, it's the same thing with Micah Parsons talking last week.
Bulletin board material.
Exactly. Like, those are not the things that you need. Yes, you're a diehard Birds fan because, I mean, that's my favorite player of all time. It still is. I don't care. But it's just, shut up. Don't give them that bulletin board stuff that's going to like fuel them into this game. I am still hoping, praying Jalen Hurts can play. If he doesn't, I still think there's a chance that Gardner Minshew can win that game. I just don't think it's highly likely. But I also, at the end of the day, I don't think it matters. All we have to do is win one out of our next 3 games to lock up that number one seed. We play the Cowboys this week. We play the Saints next week. And we play the Giants the following week. As far as the Saints game, I think that's going to be our, okay, let's play some people here. And then obviously we can rest going into that Giants game, but still 3 weeks of not playing. It's almost been proven where like half the time that rust is a real thing. I don't want to see that necessarily, but if that's going to get Jalen healthy, get him healthy. I'd much rather do well in the playoffs than even have a number one seed. Like if we do slip to 2 and we have Jalen healthy going into that, like I'd much rather have that scenario. It's not preferable, but that's the league we play in.
All right, let's move on to some flexi action. Since it's just you and I, we'll do it that same way we've been doing it the last couple weeks. Automatically, we're just going to run off or rule out of the table. Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb, and we'll say Austin Eckler as well.
That's fair, but I will ask. So in the last couple weeks, obviously you've been asking me and Jared questions. I can flip the script. Do you want me to ask them to you? I got them ready if you're ready.
I've also got them up and ready. Sure, go for it.
I'll say we can switch off. I'll give you, do you want to do running backs or wide receivers?
Whatever.
I'm going to give you running backs. That's already what you queued up here. All right, so we're actually going to start somewhere in the middle here. Nick, would you rather start Raheem Mostert at home against the Green Bay Packers or Isaiah Pacheco?
Raheem Mostert. Raheem is low-key really good, right? He's having these really big games. They play against the Packers, so it's going to be hot down there. Well, relatively hot down there, hot for the Packers. Aaron Rodgers does not play very good in the Florida states, so I do not imagine that they're necessarily going to run up the score, so especially with the way they've been playing all year. So I think that this is one of those games where Tua will definitely have his passing yards, and then Tyreek and Waddle will definitely score. But it's going to be one of those games where they get an early lead and then start grinding it out with Mostert. So give me Mostert.
I dig it. I think he's going to go off this week. The Packers' run defense is terrible. But Raheem Mostert or Jerick McKinnon?
It's funny. I'm totally going Jerick McKinnon. This is why I didn't pick Isaiah Pacheco, because it's funny because I've been really big on Pacheco, but McKinnon has solidified that receiver role, and Mahomes is the greatest passer that we've ever seen. So number one, those two things together is like money. Number two, I think he's been like the second most targeted player on that offense the last 3 weeks, and he's putting up monster numbers, top 5 fantasy running back numbers. I'm starting him in every league that I have him in, especially the one league that I'm playing against Patrick Mahomes. Hopefully that'll mitigate that a little bit, especially because it's the league that I lost Jalen Hurts in. So I'm really going to, you know, have to be spicy about this. So yeah, Jerick McKinnon, absolutely. That's my guy.
I dig it. Jerick McKinnon or Zeke Elliott.
Jerick McKinnon.
I figured, honestly, I would also do the same. I'm going to move off Jerick McKinnon because I'm with you. I'm going to put him above quite a few players here.
Top 10 this week for sure.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Zeke or J.K. Dobbins.
Give me Zeke.
J.K. has been actually pretty good. Honestly, I saw him run that first game and I was like, yeah, it's iffy. Zeke or David Montgomery?
Playing Buffalo. I'm going to go Zeke because Khalil Herbert's back.
That is true. Okay. I like that one. We're going to say Zeke or Miles Sanders.
I'm going to go Miles Sanders because it's like Miles every couple weeks is going to give you a dud, which was pretty much last week. So he's due for another big game. And number two, with Jalen Hurts out, of course, absolutely. That's going to free up a ton of touches. Play Miles Sanders. He's also going to be a top 10 this week.
No, I agree. Honestly, I agree with that one. Miles Sanders or Travis Etienne?
Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders. Even though Lawrence is on fire right now and Etienne's coming off a nice game, I'm going Miles Sanders.
Miles. All right. I like it. Miles Sanders or Joe Mixon against the New England Patriots?
This one is tricky. So it's kind of a tie for me, but I'm going to go Miles Sanders again, just because without Jalen Hurts, I think he's going to get a lot of touches.
I like it.
Plus, Samaje Perine has played very well for the Bengals.
Yeah. No, he's absolutely played himself into a starting role. It's going to be a complimentary piece. It's your Zeke, Tony Pollard. Now, I'm not saying they're the same, quality of player, but it matters. So let's switch up. I'm going to say Joe Mixon or Ramondre Stevenson.
I'm going to go Ramondre. He came back last week, played well, I believe. Do you know his stats?
He did. Honestly, I think he had like 13 rushes for 176 yards and a touchdown. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah. I remember he had over 100 yards. I wasn't sure about the touchdown. I do know that he initiated that fail of a play last week.
He did.
So my guess is that maybe a little bit of a chip on the shoulder, right? They need to get rid of that sour taste. So, I'm going to go Stevenson this week.
I dig it. All right, we're going to go down to the bottom of the list. We want to help these guys if they are in an emergency scenario. We're going to fire through these really fast. Jeff Wilson or Chuba Hubbard?
Oh, gosh. Both of those guys are bad.
I'm saying this is like emergency. This is semifinal.
I guess I would go Chuba.
I agree. Chuba or Brian Robinson Jr.?
Brian.
Brian Robinson or Cam Akers?
Cam Akers.
Cam Akers, A.J. Dillon.
A.J. Dillon.
A.J. Dillon, Rashad White.
Stick with Dillon.
A.J. Dillon, Zach Moss.
A.J. Dillon for sure.
All right. A.J. Dillon or DeAndre Swift?
Give me D-Swift for sure.
Like I said, these
Swift
are going to be
back, man.
That's why I wanted to go through some. Like the top ones are like maybe if your team has just gotten through healthy, I feel like this is going to help. But if you are in my situation where like I have to start Zach Moss, we want to give the fans some of those low tier players because again, in most cases, unless you're in like an 8-man league, you're in some do or die scenario. So if you can, if you're going up a team that has been healthy, try to play for those upside guys. It's at least my advice.
All right, I'm gonna switch it over to you for wide receivers. Same idea. We're going to start with Keenan Allen or Juju Smith-Schuster.
Keenan Allen.
Okay. Keenan Allen or Jalen Waddle.
Keenan Allen.
How did Allen do last week? What's with your guys' fixation with him?
Honestly, I've never been this high on Keenan Allen, but as of recently, he's been doing a lot better. Austin Eckler did not have a great game. He also got injured in that game. So Joshua Kelly saw a little bit more usage. But within like the context of where they are, they did not have a great game. So I think this could be definitely a bounce back. But yeah, going back to last week, we were probably wrong.
Okay, so Keenan Allen or Devontae Smith?
Devontae Smith.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not expect you to say that.
Want
to
know why?
Yeah.
Trayvon Diggs is going to try his absolute hardest against A.J. Brown. And he's going to lose. But on the opposite side of that, when you have your top corner taking out A.J. Brown, The rest of the Cowboys' second and third cornerbacks are all injured. If that happens, if you don't want to press the ball, if Gardner Minshew is going to be more of like that game manager, Devontae Smith is an absolute slim reaper when it comes to the middle of the field. He's actually tied for the most 30-plus yard receptions in the league with like Devontae Adams and like Jalen Waddle. And JJ, yeah. So when it comes to that, I'm going to start Devontae Smith.
All right. I like to hear that. I like the explanation at least. So Devontae Smith or Mike Evans?
Devontae Smith. Mike Evans has been duty.
He hasn't been that bad.
He's been pretty bad.
Devontae Smith or your boy CeeDee Lamb?
Shoot. I don't want to be biased. I will say CeeDee. I think he is going to carve up at least kind of the middle of the field. Our defense is still good. But just off of like the player, the situation, it's going to be a passing game. CeeDee, I think, is going to get a majority of those versus the 1-2 punch of AJ Brown, Devontae Smith.
Okay, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. CeeDee Lamb or Jalen Waddle? Does this change anything for you?
No. Give me CeeDee.
Okay. Okay, cool, cool, cool. All right, moving on. We got CeeDee Lamb or Garrett Wilson?
Who did the Jets play?
Jacksonville, which are giving up the 25th most points against wide receivers.
I'm going to stay with CeeDee. If it was Mike White, I would take Garrett Wilson. Zach Wilson is garbage. So, CeeDee.
Okay. CeeDee Lamb or Christian Watson?
Christian Watson.
Even after his poor game last week?
Yep. Honestly, yeah. If he would have turned back on that last play, that would have been a touchdown. And like we would not even have this conversation. Be like, Christian Watson is just an absolute baller. So within, and especially that game, it's cold here. We're in Minnesota, right next to Wisconsin. It's cold. They're going down to Miami. I still have issues with, obviously, Aaron Rodgers does not play well in Florida. This could be a game that he changes that, but either way, I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, so I'd rather have Christian Watson with the upside.
Okay, how about Christian Watson or T. Higgins?
Ooh, now that's a nasty one. It's T. Higgins. Honestly, just like within reality. If you are, again, playing it with like an upside situation, I would lean to Christian Watson. But with just like level-headed logic, T. Higgins.
Yeah, I agree. T. Higgins is awesome, and I actually can't believe how low he's ranked on this list right now.
Joe Burrow is playing also at an MVP level. It's unfortunate it took him so long to do it, but honestly, he's in the race. He's in the race. Yeah. So I'm not going to discount
honestly,
the
as
Bengals.
A Ja'Marr Chase owner, I am super excited with where the Bengals are. I mean, they're getting hot right now, and I couldn't need that more, losing Cooper Kupp and the wide receiver I lost, and Debo. Like, I could not ask for a better situation, but whatever. That's fine. Okay, so let's go T. Higgins or your super good pick last week, Zay Jones.
Zay Jones. Just kidding. Nah, still T. Higgins. I will say Zay Jones is going to be, I think, honestly, matched up on Sauce Gardner most of this game. Especially looking at the 3 touchdowns, 90 yards he just had with against Dallas and against Trayvon Diggs. So I'd love to stick with my own opinion, but no, it's T. Higgins.
All right, let's move into those deeper cuts. So we'll start with my boy Gabe Davis. And we're going to say Gabe Davis or Alan Lazard.
I wouldn't want to play either one of these guys. I currently have Gabe Davis on the bench, but give me Gabe Davis.
Yeah, I would take Gabe Davis as well. So Gabe Davis or Christian Kirk?
Christian Kirk.
I actually think I'd go Kirk too as well. So Christian Kirk or DeAndre Hopkins with a bad quarterback?
Give me DeAndre Hopkins still. And I think the biggest reason for that is, I'll say, when Trey McSorley is his name?
Yep.
Yeah. Honestly, you have to have an outlet. Every rookie quarterback, you find like that one guy that you're like, okay, I have like some level of trust in you. Give me Nuke.
Hopkins or Adam Thielen?
Nuke.
Okay. Nuke or Chris Olave?
Chris Olave.
Okay. Chris Olave or Amari Cooper?
Olave, because of the current weather in Cleveland. It is supposed Fair to be point. Potentially 30 to 60 mile an hour winds or certain gusts within that game. If I could, I would not play anybody within that game outside of running backs.
Olave or Brandon Ayuk?
Ayuk.
I actually don't know how Ayuk has been doing. Probably pretty good.
He had a really bad game last week And
oh, yes, he did. 2-4 for 19.
Yeah,
the week before is nice, though.
Yeah, I preached Brandon Ayuk last year. It was unfortunate because George Kittle had the game that I thought Brandon Ayuk was going to have. So somebody had it. I just didn't pick the right player for it.
Okay, I got one last one for you. We're stuck on Olave, right?
No, I said Ayuk.
Okay, yeah, okay. I already know you're going to stick with Ayuk, but Ayuk or Sortland Cutton?
Ayuk.
Yeah, Sutton's been just a disappointment. That whole offense is just pathetic. That being said, I hope that helped you guys out. If you need to go deeper than that, I would recommend going to church, saying a little prayer. Because, I mean, it is slim pickings down there. You could do KJ Osborne if you want, but I guarantee you he doesn't have another good game for the rest of the year.
No, that is his career year, but I mean, it's definitely going to earn him the number two wide receiver next year.
He is so fantastic on third and fourth down, and then like almost non-existent first and second down. You can't bet on that.
Dude, you could see it in his face. Like I said, I watched the entirety of that Vikings game. You could see it after every single catch. That dude was on a mission, so the fact that he finished with, what, 146 yards or whatever it was, I was like, that man was, like, locked in. I think they all came out, and going back to, like, the Vikings game, the thing that I think is funny is apparently Patrick Peterson, like, did a speech in the locker room where he's like, you guys, only 5 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He said, we'll get some stops. You guys just need to get 5 touchdowns. Easy.
And Kirk thought he was being sarcastic. And apparently he was like, no.
I'm pretty sure everyone thought he was being sarcastic.
Oh, yeah, and he was like,
I'm pretty sure he was being sarcastic.
Maybe, but it worked. Obviously, you need that like that.
Stranger things have happened, though.
No, they haven't. This is like the biggest comeback in history. This is like the new strangest thing.
So just for the record, that is a Charlie Kelly quote when I say it these days, because I forgot the episode, but like he says, well, stranger things have happened. And no, Stranger Things had not happened. I just want to make that clear when I say that.
I like it.
But one last question for you. I'm going to name the top 5 wide receivers. You have to pick one that you want to play this week. So we're looking at Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Adams, and Stephon Diggs.
It's Tyreek Hill.
You have to pick. Really?
Yeah.
Tyreek against Green Bay?
Yep.
Letting up the 5th most points against wide receivers?
Dude, Jerry's not been good. Like, he's been okay, but the biggest reason for that is because teams have been able to run against the Packers. So, like, you don't have to pass. Going back to, like, the Eagles, like, we shouldn't have done that. If you're terrible against a run, teams are just going to run. It's going to make that stat look a lot better. At the end of the day, Jerry's not going to be able to keep up with Tyreek in a game that the Miami Dolphins absolutely have to win. Tua is just going to pepper him early and often. This could be a Tyreek game where he finishes with 40 yards. Or it's going to be a game where he finishes with 223 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Very specific.
Looking at this game, give me the upside. Again, when it comes to the playoffs, I'm all about upside. I like to have a couple players as like my floor. But the Tyreek, that is my dime piece. Have to have it. I mean, it's a luxury for sure. Love to have Tyreek in a lineup this week.
Justin Jefferson is about 370 yards away from hitting the 2,000-yard mark for a wide receiver. I 1,000% would pick Justin Jefferson in this scenario. I think he's going to completely torch the New York Giants. I would play JJ. But I understand playing any of these 5.
Oh, right? 100%.
They're projected the most for a reason.
Right. And I do think the only reason I didn't go JJ, because it was definitely between those two, I think the Vikings are just going to slaughter him. So I think I'm come like the second half. I know that's always the case. I said the same thing against the Bears.
I mean, now they're not. Now that you said that, it's definitely not happening.
But if they do, I'm still going to say I got it right. But again, this is definitely a team where like this could be a staple win, especially coming off of the victory that they just had. I would not be surprised if like, and I don't want to jinx this, but again, they were the Colts in that reverse situation where they're up 33 points going into halftime, and then they can just run it out, and they have a much better team to do that with than what the Colts just had when it comes to coaching, defense, all of it. They're better. I think the Vikes are going to go off.
Yeah, I mean, it would be super Minnesota Vikings fashion to lay another egg. But I don't think that happens against the Giants.
I agree.
Plus, the intern Jake told me that the Giants are for sure beating the Vikings. And we know that's wrong. So
that's wrong.
All right, that's being said, how do we take a break on this thing? Is there a pause button?
4th and 3, 4th and 3. Hopping back on the mic for you and me. 4th and 3 podcast. There is Nick and AJ and Jared with the blast. NFL blast. 4th and 3 podcast.
All right. We figured out how to stop it. We're getting right back into it. We're going to jump into our weekly preview games. We're going to start with tomorrow night's game, Thursday night. We got the Jaguars at the Jets. Currently, the Jags are favored by 1.5 points. 36.5, the over-under. AJ, who you got?
Surprisingly, the Jags. In Dougie P, I trust. After coming back with that 17-point deficit, beating the Cowboys in overtime, their defense is looking much improved. Yes, they still give up, 34 points. Give me the Jags. I think they're going to make a playoff run here.
I'm taking the Jets. The home team's going to be cold. We got some Saturday games again. So we got the Bills at the Bears, Battle of the Bees. The Bills are favored by 8.5 points. The over-under is 40.5. I'm taking the Bills. I think there's no chance that the Bears can stop Josh Allen.
I agree. Again, I'd say you're going from like a Hy-Vee Josh Allen to Dollar Tree Justin Fields. So, I mean, there's a deficit. And for what it's worth, apparently in the Bills, it's going to be like really crazy weather. So they're actually leaving a day earlier, get acclimated at that time. Give me the Bills for sure.
We got the Saints at the Browns next. The Browns favored by 2.5 points. Going to be a snowy game. The total over under is 32.5. I'm going to go with the Browns because I think Nick Chubb, if it is snowy, Nick Chubb will run all over the Saints. The Saints, it's just at this point in the season, it's hard to pick them.
I don't think Nick Chubb's playing in this game.
Well, that's a predicament.
This is a big news thing that I obviously missed earlier, but it is, I don't want to say rumored, but he is dealing with a foot injury that has been playing him over the past couple weeks. It is expected that he won't be playing this game. I'm not going to say it's like the worst drop off from Nick Chubb to Kareem Hunt, but it is still sizable. But I don't think it matters. I'm still going to go Browns.
Next up, we got the Texans at the Titans. The Titans favored by 4.5 points. Total over under is 36.5. I'm going Titans, even if Tannehill's not playing. But this is not going to be a very fun game to watch.
No, but I will say the Texans last week gave the Chiefs a run for their money. Literally went to overtime. The week before
Davis
that,
Mills.
Barely lost to the Cowboys. Give me the Texans in this one.
I like it. We got the Seahawks at the Chiefs. Chiefs favored by 10. Total over-under is 48.5. I'm going to go the Chiefs. They are definitely they're in win-now mode. Doesn't matter how they're doing in the division. They need to lock up that number one spot. I'm going Chiefs for sure.
Yeah, Tyler Lockett, I'm pretty sure he just had finger surgery. If you only have DK, that matters. Give me the Chiefs.
Next up, we got the Giants at the Vikings. Vikings favored by 3.5. The over-under is 47.5 points. I'm totally going Vikings, and I think it's good. I'm going to take the point spread. I think they cover by more than 3.5.
I agree, and I would absolutely take the over. What did you say, 40.5?
47.5.
I'd still take it, honestly. This can be like a 53-point game.
Yeah, I mean, that's 24-24. Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Especially with the way the Vikings defense has been playing. So we have the Bengals at the Patriots. The Bengals are favored by 3.5. They're red hot right now. Patriots coming off a very disappointing loss, though, so they're going to be playing a little bit harder. So this is kind of hard for me to pick. I'm actually going to go Patriots at home.
You can't see this, but I'm absolutely stunned. Give me the Bengals. Give me the point spread. 100%.
I know. That is crazy. But it's going to be cold. It's going to be snowy. I don't know, dude. That's a hard place to play.
It's at Foxborough?
It is.
Yeah, still gonna be the Bengals. They're from Ohio.
That's fair.
They're just as cold. It's not colder.
Fair, Bengals by
15.
All right, we got the Lions at the Panthers. Lions favored by 2.5. I'm totally taking the Lions, and I think they crush the Panthers by like 10 to 15 points.
Agreed.
We got the Falcons at the Ravens. Ravens favored by 7.5. The over-under is 37.5. Desmond Ridder, I don't know, man. Maybe he pulls something out of his hat. I'm going Ravens, though, because it sounds like Lamar might play this weekend. And if he does, absolutely. If not, still going Ravens, but I wouldn't expect them to cover.
I think that's fair. I'm going to stick with the Ravens. So far, Lamar, still has not practiced, which is... All of these rumors are coming out that he's supposed to play. Him not practicing, I'm on edge. But again, you still have Thursday and Friday. But yeah, again, Ravens.
Next up, we got the Commanders at the 49ers. 49ers favored by 7.5. I'm totally taking them. Brock Purdy is playing much better than I anticipated. I don't think they cover the 7.5 points, though.
Nick, we're just off today. I'll say, give me the Niners. Absolutely give me the over. And I would do so with confidence. But honestly, your lack of confidence is making me less confident.
I mean, you know, it's the Commanders got a, I don't want to say they have more to play for, but the 49ers are in a safer position than the Commanders are. Heineke plays well under pressure. That's the why I'm still picking the Niners. I just wouldn't, I'm just not picking the Niners by 8 points, you know?
I will tell you though, they just lost to the Giants.
Who just also saying. Are a pretty decently good team.
Yeah. Honestly, you're not wrong. They're a playoff team right now.
Yeah, that whole division. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yeah, the entire division, the entire NFC East is currently in the playoff route. Obviously, does it have something to do with the fact there's seven NFC teams and seven AFC teams? Yes, it does. But still, to have an entire division who is above 500 going into the playoffs, absolutely absurd.
Next game up, we got the Eagles at the Cowboys. Cowboys favored by 4.5. I'm taking the Eagles. I don't believe in the Cowboys. I know the Cowboys spanked the Vikings, Gardner? But yeah, I know. That's kind of crazy to think about. But the Eagles play well in Dallas. I've learned that from you.
That you have. And the joke is on you because I'm still going Birds. This is going to be one of those games ever since week 4 or 5 when we beat Dallas. They had Cooper Rush at the time. Everybody was calling for Cooper Rush to be a starter. Yeah, honestly, yes, they did come back a little bit. I don't think it matters. Our defense is coming back to health. We have Dallas Goedert back. If we can beat them with Gardner Minshew, which I think we absolutely can, just given the weapons, the defense, everything that we have, it's going to be a spectacular win. We lock it up. Jalen Hurts will play, you know, maybe against the Giants, preferably against the Saints, even though they're known to be, you know, a little bit chippier. I think we can squeak this out, but I'm not going to bet on this game. Just kidding. I will.
Next game, we got the Raiders at the Steelers. Raiders coming off a fantastic fluky win, but fantastic. Steelers not doing too hot right now, but it sounds like Kenny Pickett's going to be back, so that's a positive. Steelers favored by 2.5 points. I will take the Steelers just because I'm taking that defense at home. And I guess I feel like they'll cover because that's probably going to be a 3-point game.
I agree. Honestly, yeah, I'm going to go Steelers. I've doubted them in recent weeks. I'm not going to do it again, Benry. Give me the Steelers. I agree. Najee's looked better.
He has looked better. That's also a positive. If you have him in fantasy football, I would play him.
If you have him, he didn't make the playoffs, though, but good try.
That's probably a good point as well. So we got the next game. We got the Sunday games. We got the Packers at the Dolphins. The Dolphins favored by 3.5. We know Rodgers doesn't play too hot in Florida. I'm going Miami. They're just a superior team right now. And I am going to take them to cover. I think they definitely win by more than 3.5 points.
Agree. Like I said, I think it's going to be a big Tyreek game. The Dolphins don't have a huge running team, and Aaron Rodgers is terrible in Florida. It's a curse. Real curse.
Next game, we have what was thought by some to be a Super Bowl matchup. Turned out it is not. We have the Broncos visiting the LA Rams. Currently, the Broncos are favored by 2.5 points, which surprises me, even though the Rams are playing bad. I'm taking the Rams at home. I'm so over the Broncos. I will not.
I'm with you, honestly. But again, if we're looking at the Baker Mayfield Rams, I get it. They definitely still scored a couple points coming against the Packers in the cold weather. But just looking at Pat Surtain, that defense who has been slipping a little bit, I'm going to go Broncos. But again, one of these games I would not bet on. I don't want to touch.
Next game, we got the Buccaneers at the Cardinals. Currently, the Bucs are favored by 6.5. Absolutely go Tom Brady here. I don't even know who's quarterbacking the Cardinals off the top of my head.
Trey McSorley.
Yeah, exactly. Tom Brady. Absolutely. Yeah, no way in heck that the Bucs lose this game. And I think they cover by the 6.5 as well.
Crazy fact, though, this is the first time ever that a rookie in his first start has ever beaten Tom Brady. It was actually Brock Purdy 2 weeks ago. Maybe that like little luck streak continues, but I don't think the Arizona Cardinals are going to be that team to do it. The 49ers, very different from the Cardinals. So I'm still going to go Bucks, but is Lightning going to strike twice? Maybe. I just don't think the Cardinals are anywhere near the coaching, the team, anything that the 49ers have to offer.
Yep, I 100% agree. The Bucks are superior in a lot of facets. Yeah. Moving on here, we got Monday night's game. We got the Chargers at the Colts. Currently, the Chargers favored by 4.5. I'm surprised that's not more. The over-under is 45.5. I'm taking the Chargers. We are already talking about how the Colts are basically done for the season. I mean, they're starting their third quarterback this year. Absolutely give me the Chargers, and I think they cover that 4.5.
I agree. I'll say I would take the over on the point spread. I think this is going to be somewhat of a shootout. At least I'm personally banking on that. But I just think it's two mediocre teams kind of showing what they can do. This is one of those games that I think could be one of the better non-Sunday games. Obviously, most of these games are Saturday. I'm still going to go Chargers. I wouldn't take the 4.5 spread, but I would take the over.
I like it. Well, that sums up those games. Do you have anything else you want to add before the playoff, fantasy playoffs, the week 16? We got a lot of stuff going on this weekend.
Yeah, Dallas.
Oh, don't forget to bleep that one out.
Oh, I'll say I'm going to edit it so I know exactly what time it is. So I'm going to double down. Dallas sucks.
All right.
Gardner, Minshew mania, mustache mania. Let's rep it. Go Birds. Go Vikes. Packers. I'm not going to say yours, but good luck.
Yeah, f*** the Packers. All right, let's move on here. Let's get out of here. We'll be back next week like we usually are. Hopefully I got some good news for you. I got 3 fantasy games coming up. AJ's got 1, right?
Just 1.
I hope we have some good news for you guys. If not, it's going to be a depressing podcast next week. Just kidding. We'll be cheerful regardless. It's the best time of the year. That being said, this is Nick signing off. See you next week.
AJ, peace out. Best luck in those games. Love to hear how it goes. Later.
Yahoo! On 4th and 3.